Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, April 25th, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 22, the fourth paragraph down. We know that while the alcoholic keeps away, and the comments will be on that one paragraph only. We'll read just that one paragraph. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Libby E., the 12 Traditions, Julia E., and the readers of the text are John K., Mary H., and Kathleen O. The share ID for Wednesday, yesterday, April 24th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 12,823. That's 12823. And for the Thursday, April 25th meeting, today, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 12,826. That's 12826. Our newcomer greeter will be Mary B., and our announcement coordinator will be Janice P.M. Thank you all for your service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees from members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Libby E. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Libby.
Good morning. Thank you, Mo. I'm Libby E. I'm a compulsive eater in New York. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
And thank you, Libby E. And I will now ask Julia E. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning. Thanks so much. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon our OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself, and our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Julia E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 22, the fourth paragraph down, starting with, we know that while the alcoholic keeps away, and we're just reading that one paragraph only and commenting on it. So I will now ask John Kay to get us started. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks. My name's John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. We know that while the alcoholic keeps away from the drink, as he may do for months or years, he reacts much like other men. We are equally positive that once he takes any alcohol, whatever, into his system, something happens, both in the bodily and mental state, which makes it virtually impossible for him to stop. The experience of any alcoholic will abundantly confirm this. Well, there's your perfect description of the allergy of the body, right? Once we start, we cannot stop. You know, it's an interesting thing. A number of years ago, I wrote an article for a website that handles all kinds of addictions, and the name of the article was Food is Deadlier Than Drink, and where I enumerated why I felt that this was harder than stopping alcohol, because I've experienced both situations. And there are lots and lots of reasons, and I actually ticked off a bunch of people in AA with that article, but it's my honest to God feelings. And you know, one of those reasons is, it's very simple. Well, first of all, we have to eat. We all know that. And we have to then identify, what are our alcoholic foods, you know? And I've heard people say, well, you know, alcoholics still have to drink. They just can't drink alcohol. Yeah, but they know what drinks they're picking up have alcohol in them. You know, imagine if they couldn't. They had to keep, you know, trying through trial and error to figure out what drinks were alcoholic and which weren't. And maybe they kept changing on them too. Well, that's in a lot of ways what we have to go through. I mean, you know, a lot of people use that red light, yellow light, green light list, you know, as a thing. And Kim Gee always says, well, there's really no such thing as a yellow light food. And of course, that's true at the end of the day. But figuring out which camp a specific food goes in, is it the red or is it the green, is very hard. I mean, a lot of us know what most of our red light foods are. Most of us know what our green light foods are. It's those pesky yellow ones that I know for me, I still play with some of them that I shouldn't, you know. And it's a long process to figure that out. And the other thing is, I can tell you from having been in AA, all alcoholics have the same level of it, you know. We all have to stay away from alcohol. There's nobody in AA, well, I can have a beer once in a while, I can this once in a while. But it's not the same in OA. We have people at all different levels in this program. I mean, one of my best friends, this lady, Roberta from out here, is in program for a long time, keeping 100-plus pounds off, and it's a wonderful recovery. She can eat all foods moderately. Oh, God bless her. I wish I could do that. And the woman got up at Serenity Sunday, who's coming back from a slip, and said, gee, you know, I was really trying to be Roberta. And I so identified and felt for her because I did the same thing for a long time. When I was in the middle of my long slipping cycle, I kept looking at people in programs and said, well, if she can eat cake, I want to eat cake. And if that person can have, you know, chips, I want to have chips. And, you know, it's one of those things. Okay, I'll wrap up that, you know, in More About Alcoholism says we have to realize we're bodily and mentally different from our fellows. But I also had to realize I was bodily and mentally different from the fellows in OA. And that took a long time. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, John, for getting us started. I'll just remind everybody that we're on page 22, the fourth paragraph. We know that while the alcoholic keeps away, and I will now take names of those who'd like to share.
Freya H.
L-E-S. L-E-A-S from Germany. Hello.
Okay. L-E-A-S. Okay.
Sarah B.
Cher?
Sarah.
Oh, Sarah, okay. Oh, Sarah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No worries.
Sarah B. Okay.
Electra S.
Electra S. Couple more. Here's your opportunity to press star one if you want to try.
Mary H.
Mary
Nicole
H.
M.
Nicole M. We'll stop there. Thank you. Mary H. and Nicole M. All right. I have Freya H. Allie A. S. Sarah B. Electra S. Mary
yes,
H.
thank you, Kim.
And Nicole C. All right, we'll start with Freya H. And the rest of you, please mute your phone, except Freya H. Freya H. Can't hear you.
Hi, it's Freya H.
Good morning.
I got muted again. Good morning. I'll try to keep it brief and not ramble, but I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive eater and bulimic in Colorado, and I love the simplicity that this paragraph offers, and I love hearing the previous speaker use the term trial and error, because that is absolutely my experience, is that I, as much as I wanted to, like, get the rule book and just follow the rules and never have to suffer and do it right and be happily ever after, that's not how it worked for me. I had to go through trial and error. And error was really scary when I was in self-reliance. But when I have, I have a reliance on a higher power, error is information. It's learning. It's not condemnation and proof that I'm bad and terrible. So really, really grateful that that's what this, you know, that there is a simplicity and that there is... you know, it's so important for me to, when it comes to food, it's really easy to get get off track because I get confused by health and nutrition and all these different ways of, you know, all these different things that get me away from the issue of what is my allergy. And when I see this, it reminds me that, oh yeah, abstinence just means that I don't trigger the allergy. It actually has nothing to do with health or nutrition or any of that outside stuff. I mean, that stuff is an outside issue and it may be useful in its own right, but that's not what I'm dealing with here. I just need to focus on what triggers the allergy. And I learned that through my own experience, and I trust my own experience. And I have the experience of, you know, of abstaining from certain foods for months or years. And then it was really confusing because then I thought I was cured. Like I thought, oh, I can handle that. I can control that. And very insidiously, you know, I couldn't. And I also think about, you know, using other substances like drugs and alcohol. You know, we went through phases in my life when I used those. And I did not, you know, once I kind of got through that phase, I don't have any desire to go back to that. You know, I don't have the mental obsession with any of that stuff. But for whatever reason, you know, certain foods, substances, and behaviors, they hook me, you know, like I have that mental obsession. So I'm really grateful to have this description and also this description to offer to other people who come into the rooms and who are asking questions like, well, allergy of the body, obsession of the mind. So I'll pass with that. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much for getting us started, Freya. And it's Allie A.S. You're on. And followed by...
Hello, this is Allie.
Okay, go ahead,
hey,
Allie.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm pushy today. I'm sorry. Can I be heard?
Yes, you may. You are being heard.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, my name's Ali A.S., and I'm from Germany. And, yeah, like, I just recently worked through this text with my sponsor and that paragraph I underlined. And it took me a long while to understand that, you know, I had those games of fire when I went out with friends and I had cake and I thought, oh, that went well. But then, you know, then the next day I started binging in the afternoon and compulsively overeating. And I did that for a week. So I guess that didn't work out quite well. And now I realize that the moment I start eating addictively, it can't even be an apple, which is on my food plan. But for me, the moment I sit down and mostly it's isolation, it's eating while reading or watching something. Food and media and isolation, that's like my three holy combination. And the second I put in even a carrot, even just something in my mouth while I watch something or, you know, I do that, it's over. You know, it doesn't stay that apple or that carrot or maybe for a minute and later I will, you know, eat everything that's in my fridge or go out and get stuff or order in. So, you know, the moment I take an alcoholic bite, basically, no matter what, it sets off something in my mind and in my body that just says more and more and more and more. And it won't stop. It just won't stop. And it's horrible. Yeah, I'm on my 15 days of abstinence today. And I was like, I was waiting for this meeting to go on because I don't know why, like, I realized by reading the book, I don't know why I get these cravings. I don't know why I compulsively overeat and I had like pressure and the desire to compulsively overeat. It was just the addiction, a craving, like having turkey. And maybe it is this withdrawal that people talk about it. It's so difficult, but it's horrible. It's like to feel it and, you know, being in the abstinent mind and to feel this pull of the addiction, ooh, it's tough. But, you know, I sat down and I worked, continued working in the big book and writing things down that I relate to, and it really helped. And now this meeting is just, it's my safe place, and it saved me to be in here at the moment and share with you guys. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Ali A.S. Sarah B., followed by Electra S. Sarah.
Hi, this is Sarah. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic from Los Angeles. I will go ahead. This is my first time at this meeting or on this phone meeting, so I'm very grateful to have gotten on before I go to work and just start off my day with recovery. I really love this reading and this paragraph, and I've been reflecting on it because, and I apologize if you guys hear construction in the background. I've been reflecting on this paragraph. This past weekend, my best friend visited, and it just brought up a lot of feelings of grief. And, you know, she's moving back to New York, and just this like historical emotions of fear and abandonment came up. And over a year and 6 months of abstinence, and I'm very humbled by how the feelings triggered this allergy of the body, like the allergy of the body and the obsession in the mind. And I didn't break my abstinence, but there were moments, and I was sharing about my sponsor, or this was my sponsor, there were moments where it literally felt like the disease took over my body. And I'm so grateful that I had the willingness in these moments to stop and say, to have the pause in between, like reaching for whatever it was and saying, this is not going to fix anything. This is not going to fix, it's never going to be enough. Whatever it is that you're reaching for to not feel these feelings, it's not going to be enough to satisfy and make the pain go away. And it just was humbling to have that experience and to feel like such a newcomer, and just like, or not even in, just before I came into program, just the powerlessness. And part of my, you know, disease is a perfectionist, you know, so it's like, oh, you have over a year of abstinence, why haven't you gotten it yet? Why does it still struggle? And why do you still struggle? And so I think for me, just the recovery comes in of getting really honest about it with my sponsor, with other fellows, and my 10th step, and, you know, using it as an opportunity to connect with my higher power and just honor that this is where I'm at. But it's so powerful to read this description, because sometimes I just forget, like, oh, I have a disease. Like, this is, I have a disease, I'm an addict, and all I can do is just go through this one day at a time and try to pick up the tools. So thank you so much for letting me share, and with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Sarah. Welcome to the line. Electra S., followed by Mary H.
Good morning, Electra S., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic from Santa Cruz, California. And I'm so grateful to be a part of this program. And I wasn't even predicting to share this morning, but there was an opening, and I felt the desire for my higher power to jump in. And the allergy of the body and the mental twist and the obsession of the mind, and I find sometimes that we're so strong in this program and we devote ourselves, or I devote myself to this program of recovery and the solution that we've found with our higher power and our sponsor and our fellowship, to do everything that we can to humbly ask our higher powers to remove our defects and to be able to be of service to others, that we forget, or I forget, that there is the allergy to the body and the mental twist. And if we don't remember that every day, the yellow foods become green when they should be red. And it takes sometimes, for me, unfortunately, some abrupt situations to remind us that this is a powerful and cunning and baffling disease, and that we need to practice this program of recovery every day. So I am just so grateful for these lines and for those who are on, and the support and love from this fellowship. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Electra. Glad you pressed to star one. Mary H., followed by Nicole N. Mary.
Hi, this is Mary H. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Mary.
Okay, great. Hi, everybody. This is Mary H., recovered in Wisconsin. And glad to be online today. Glad to be just getting centered in something outside myself in this moment. No matter what is happening in my life today, my higher power is what matters the most, and it's what this book has told us that it's all about. And, you know, in this part of the book, what it's showing me about finding that higher power that can solve my problem, you know, at least a part of what it's showing me is, you know, that food isn't my higher power, but gosh, it sure looked like it sometimes, right? Because when I ingested those alcoholic foods, it became virtually impossible to stop. And what I was thinking about this morning as I heard this reading and heard others share in this reading was just that for such a long time, I didn't even understand that I reacted this way to food because of a disease, you know, that this was not just I was bad at losing weight or bad at dieting, right? For so long, I thought that dieting was the answer. And not because I was trying to fool myself, but because I just didn't even know. I didn't understand. And until I had someone point me in the direction of this program, it didn't even occur to me that that was what was going on. I mean, I went through the stages that Bill went through where I became more and more baffled by my inability to stop. I understood my inability to stop by the time I came here, but I didn't understand why, and I didn't know what the solution was. So I didn't know what to put down, you know, and then the truth that I hear people talk about on the line is that this is permanent and it's progressive. And so I have to continue to look at whether there's anything else that needs to be put down, not in a punitive way, not because I feel like I'm not doing it right, because I can't do this perfectly. I follow the steps precisely, right? And when my head gets cleared and I work the steps and I clear that channel to my higher power, I can keep hearing if there's a new food that wasn't bothering me before in an addictive way that is bothering me now. And what a blessing. Thank you for that. Yeah, and I'll stop there. With that, I'll pass. Thanks. I hope everybody has a wonderful day.
Thank you, Mary H. And before Nicole, just remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 22, the fourth paragraph. We know that while the alcoholic keeps away, and we're just reading and unpacking that one paragraph only. And after Nicole, I'll take more names. So Nicole N., it is your turn.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Hi, it's Nicole M. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic. It's so interesting, this paragraph. The first speaker said so much of what I've been sort of grappling with lately. I'm 2 days after a slip. This slip, you know, luckily at this moment, was only for a day. But that first speaker who was talking about the difficulty and how it actually is harder than it was for alcohol. With alcohol, again, it was the, okay, you just don't put alcohol in your body, period. And I was talking to my sponsor the other day about how when it was alcohol, I always had food. Food was always my go-to. So leaving other things, I always had the food. But, you know, what I've discovered is the other day I had started putting some of my yellow light food onto my green light. And it was a slippery slope and a very quick decline. And I need to remember that it is very hard and that each of the foods is going to be different for me than it is for my sponsor. And I have to recognize the compulsion and the obsession in my mind as I'm going through this. And when to be able to be clear that my mind is not behaving appropriately in the way that I'm thinking, you know, so that I can catch those foods before I get to that place of obsession and compulsion where I just take the bite, because it is virtually impossible to stop. And I am, you know, as it says, it's abundantly confirmed over and over again, and yet I take it. I have to remember that I am an addict, and I have to find a way and what my abstinence and my sobriety from food is going to look like as I move through this journey. I've been in and out of program for so many years, and it is so difficult to not look at somebody else's plate and say, well, why not me? And just remember, you're an addict and your choices and your triggers are different than it might be for somebody who's sitting next to you, and that's okay, because you're an addict and that's what you need to do. And so with that, I'll pass. Thank you for being here today and thank you for your service.
And thank you, Nicole M. All right. So I am now open for more people who would like to share.
My name is Vita I.
Lisa J.R.
Siri C.
And I have the first name again.
Vita I.
Zita?
Vita, V-I-D-A.
V-I-D-A, Vita. Okay. And then I had
Siri
C. Yeah, Sherry. And then Lisa J.R.
Siri C.
Sherry, Suri C. Okay, got you, Suri.
Judith
Mag
M.
C.
Judith M. And who was the last one?
Mag C.
Oh, Mags. Okay, well, stop there.
Hi.
I hope I get to you. I hope I get to you, Mags. Judith C. Okay, I got Vita. I didn't get your last initial. Sherry K. B. Lisa J. R. Suri C. Judith and Mags C. I'll see if we can get through all of them. Okay. Vita. You're on.
Okay. Hi. Thank you. I'm Vita I. I'm in Los Angeles. I'm a compulsive eater, bulimic, and restrictor. Grateful to be on this meeting this morning. I am, like, really struggling with sleep, and I'm grateful that I have a mind that's like, what tool can you pick up instead of what food can I pick up for sleep deprivation? That's a miracle. And, you know, this paragraph is really interesting for me. You know, I struggle much more with food behavior than specific alcoholic foods, although I have not been eating gluten, dairy, or sugar for well over a decade, so I don't actually know what would happen if I put those foods in my body. But, you know, it's so interesting to me that, you know, today with over 4 years of abstinence, if a little bit too much food goes in my body, it can still trigger that reaction that my head tells me I need more. And that became apparent to me like really early when I came to OA, which was like over 6 years ago. And it's so fascinating to me to still see that same reaction, that's my alcoholic reaction, operating even in abstinence, you know, and that's truly what shows me, like, this thing doesn't go away, it's just treated one day at a time, and that the recovery is that when that thought comes into my head, you know, like, the next thought is usually, that's my disease. That's not what I actually need, and that I'm aware that I have that allergy, that extra food, even if it's just like a couple bites, which I love, like, you know, when I go through the doctor's opinion, I read it as like bites that you see others take, extra bites you see others taking with impunity. Like those extra bites that seem like they should be so harmless because it's just a few bites, you know, and it's not even, it can be a broccoli. Like that's the insanity. You know, that triggers something in me. And on my own, it is virtually impossible for me to stop. But the miracle is that, like, with a higher power and with the tools, when that happens, because it happens from time to time, you know, like, I'm not a static entity. Like, my body is dynamic and does need different amounts of food at different times, depending upon what's going on. I don't have to, like, engage in that just because that thought happens. Like, a thought is not a command, and I get to rely on this greater power source, which I had no conception of before I was in recovery and in the rooms, to help me abstain from what on my own is actually impossible. So I'm grateful. Thank you. I'm grateful for that reminder today, and that it's just a daily treatment. Like, nothing is solved. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Vita I. Cherry KB, you're up next, followed by Lisa JR.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. I'm very grateful and recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you so much for your service, Mo, and everybody on the line and Team Thursday. And welcome all to newcomers. Welcome all of you and all of us. you know, I'm just going to jump right in here. It is virtually impossible for him to stop. The experience of the alcoholic will abundantly confirm this. You know, before I did the work in this big book, I had no idea that I had a physical allergy of the body and a mental obsession of the mind. I didn't know that once I ingested my alcoholic trigger foods, red light foods, binge foods, whatever you want to call them, that something happened to me. What also I do know, it happened to me physically. You know, I didn't know that piece that I'm not like average temperate eaters. That's not who I am. I'm a true compulsive overeater. What I learned through many people in doing this work was that I have the mental twist. There's a mental twist that tells me it's going to be different this time. I can handle it. The mental blank spot is when I go do it and I'm totally like oblivious to the fact that I am allergic to this stuff. And they say the mental twist and the mental blank spot gets together and gangs up on the intellect and tells the intellect it's going to be different this time. That's what has happened to me in the past. What I do know that I'm, you know, now that I'm armed with these facts due to doing this work and living in the steps, I know that for me to tell a normal person that I make food my higher power, they look at me like I'm insane. If I tell another compulsive overeater that, they're like, they're bobbing their heads. They understand. The difference is that as long as I've got my nose in this big book and I'm doing the 12 steps, I have a daily reprieve due to working the steps and relying on my higher power. And I do know that my experience has been that I have tried certain foods, and actually I'll never forget this one time, binging on some protein. And, you know, I'll never forget that because I was in my kitchen. I had had a dinner. I had an abstinent dinner. And this was many years ago. And I just all of a sudden decided I was going to cook some protein. And next thing I know, I'm eating that. Then I decided to eat some other stuff. And the difference was is my body was not allergic to that because immediately the next day I was back on my abstinence. But if it had been, you know, one of my alcoholic foods, I don't know when I would have come up for air, frankly. And so I've learned through the years, and we all have different variety. We're garden variety. We're compulsive overeaters, but we're garden variety. And what I might be allergic to, you might not be allergic to. But what I do know is that when I lean on God and I make God my higher power instead of the food and work these steps, it works. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Sherry KB. Lisa JR, followed by Suri C. Lisa.
Thanks so much, Mo, for your service. Lisa JR here, grateful recovered compulsive overeater by God's grace today. Wow. When I came into program, you know, I tried to relate out in every which way. You know, I said, well, I'm not like all of them. I can binge on anything. When the screw was tightened just a little too tight and I needed that sense of ease and comfort, I could binge on Brussels sprouts. I binged on salad a lot, ate it fast and furious like a junkyard dog, and choked and almost, you know, passed out. Luckily, you know, I got it, the little cherry tomato out of my throat. But I was nuts when I came in here, completely around food. And I had worked in the past with many, many highly qualified nutritionists. But like all addicts, you know, when my lips were moving, I was lying. I couldn't be honest. But this is where rigorous honesty came in for me, working these 12 steps, keeping that mirror in front of my face every day with 10, 11, and working with others in 12. You know, yeah, I have to do 1, 2, 3 every morning before my head comes off that pillow, or ego will get in and I'll find some way to relate out in my brain. So, yeah, we have to, as they say, take the tiger out of the cage every day. But, you know, in reality, I found out it was a little kitten after I started working the steps. And I want to hear from Meg. So with that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you very kindly. Suri C, followed by Judith C. Suri.
Hi, Suri C, compulsive overeater. Wow, okay, that share, that was tailor-made for me. And today's meeting is tailor-made for me. I have a message, and I feel like there's so many people on the line, what do I have to share? But when I feel compelled, I know that that feeling is something that hopefully can benefit others. I was at a meeting yesterday, and I spoke and I shared, and what I shared was so inspirational, and it was about how I use the meeting to calm myself around my teenagers. And but then I have to speak again, and thank God that meeting gave me the opportunity to do so, because I have to say, you know what, I use this, but I also am not abstinent, and my lack of abstinence is struggle. It's a huge struggle because I am not a compulsive overeater around specific foods. I am a compulsive overeater around anything, because I can compulsively eat Brussels sprouts. I can compulsively eat anything, healthy food, non-healthy food. And it's about the calories and the quantities and the compulsive food behaviors. So for me, cross-sharing is not something you're supposed to do, but I literally am repeating the exact same words because those were the words I had planned to say. I woke up this morning with my sponsor, and she gave me, I said, okay, well, let's do something, because I'm hiding out in my bedroom away from the food right now because it's a holiday and there's food everywhere, and I don't want to go downstairs. And so she said, okay, well, let's review the first 3 steps. And step number one, I said, okay, I can own these steps. And step number one is, right, believe that I'm powerless over food. My life has become unmanageable. Step two, that I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. And when it came to step 3, I thought I had owned it, but I didn't. And I needed to be reminded by my sponsor this morning what those words were, because I could no longer recall them, and that's what I need to do. It's those that trifecta that I need to be able to get me through it. And I just want to read because, you know what, it's not about the why, it's the wah that I have to avoid, because this is a program, this is what speaks to me. And getting to the perceptions, it's not about that, right? It's about we have a new employer, being all powerful, he provides what we need. If we keep him close, on page 63, establish this footing, become less and less interested in ourselves, our little plans. My plans are not little. My plans are huge. My plans are all important, and that's why everybody has to listen to what I have to say. I thought I was being so other-focused, but I wasn't, right? I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to God as I understand him, and I'm not deciding. I'm deciding on the food, and I was obsessing over the food. So thank you for this meeting, and thank you for letting me share, and thank you for this really positive fellowship full of abstinent people who share that message and who share the steps, and could use the help, and here I am taking it and sharing the strength and hope with all of you as I trudge this road without a test.
And thank you, Suri C. Judith C., followed by Meg C. I have a lot of C's here. Oh, it's Judith M. Sorry. Judith M., press star one.
Yes, this is Judith M. from the Woodlands, Texas, and thank you for letting me share. It's so strange about the mental twist. Yesterday, I'm in the middle of going through the fourth step again, and I did my resentments yesterday. And I had three different things hit me out of the blue, and they scared me. They confused me. I didn't know what I was going to do. And what shocked me is the very first thing is to handle all these problems was I had to have sugar. I had to have sugar. Oh, my God. And because in my head, my voice kept saying, Judith, if you have sugar, it'll take the edge off of all of this. It'll take the edge off and you'll be able to handle it. You'll be able to take care of it and handle it. And I was just shocked at how fast, I've got 3 years and 6 months off of sugar, carbs, white flour, and the only dairy I do is cream in my coffee. I haven't been able to give all of that up yet. And I could not believe it. I was in the steps. I've been doing my sponsor every day. And so what I did is I got out my toolbox and I used my tools. And I called my sponsor, couldn't get her. I called other people because I've learned I need more than one phone number. I need more than one person to call and talk to. I cannot put all my eggs in my sponsor's basket because I have feet of clay and she has feet of clay. But I was so grateful for this program yesterday because I didn't eat. I didn't lose my abstinence. And I took care of the problems. And I was amazed. I fell into bed last night saying, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. Mm. Because, is that 3 minutes?
Not yet.
Okay. And I'm just grateful that I'm still clean today and that I use the tools that I have been taught to use. I was told a long time ago that repetition strengthens and confirms. The more I come to meetings, the more I'm in the big book, the more I help other people, the more I stay close to my sponsor, make my outreach calls. Then when the mental twist hits, and it's always going to hit, I don't care if you got 25 years, it's going to hit, and you handle it. You can handle it because your toolbox is close by, and it's good and it's strong. So anyway, thank you for letting me share. Great meeting, and I appreciate it, everybody.
Great. We have time for you, Mags.
Thanks, Mo. Hey. This is Mags from Denver, Colorado. And, you know, it's these paragraphs, these past few paragraphs have been great because, you know, I'm a seeker, and I'm always asking, like, why? And when I first came into program about 16 years ago, it was definitely crying in the wilderness, why? And shaking my fist at the sky and saying, this sucks. And I am such a distrustful, skeptical person that I really had to be like, razor in hand, trying to slip my wrist, trying to take pills before I actually sought any kind of help. And when I sought help, it was from a professional. And then when my professional referred me to the 12 steps, I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. This is not alcohol. This is fucking food. I have to eat this every day. I can't just exclude it entirely from my life. And what ended up happening is this skeptic found peace and some calm after doing 12 steps. And if I had known something so incredibly straightforward, all right, not easy, but straightforward could have helped me, I would have done this years ago. So I think. But there's so much stigma attached behind addiction and behind willpower and this is a moral issue. It's not, and as we know, you know, and as soon as you get through the steps, you'll really realize this doesn't have anything to do with am I a good person or not. You know, did I not want to stop doing the behaviors that I was doing around food? Absolutely. I just didn't have the toolbox. I didn't have the skills. And I didn't know the people that I know now. And as these decades have gone by and I've reached out into different sister programs, it's amazing how many absolutely wonderful, powerful respect. I have so much respect for the people that I know in these programs. We're talking like people that have every right to say they were successful, you know, whether they were CEOs or doctors or lawyers or whatever, that have the same issues as I do. And when we've all stepped into this program of action, we're able to shed some of the anxiety, some of that shame, and that fear around food and what I'm putting into my mouth, and releasing all of that anger. And that is the miracle for me. Thanks, Mo. That's the miracle for me, because I don't think that I would ever have suspected that 12 steps would help me do that. And so, yeah, we're learning so that we can pass it on and so we can teach other people. So be open, guys. Be open. And that's all I got. Thank you so much. Bye, guys.
Thank you. Thank you, Mags, for closing us out. I want to thank everyone who was on the meeting this morning, all those who shared, and all those who gave service, Libby E., Julia E., John K., Mary H., and Kathleen O. We'll have the newcomer greeter, Mary B., and the announcement will be Janice P.M., and I will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Mary H. please read a vision for you?
Hi, this is Mary H., recovered in Wisconsin, and this is a vision for you from the Big Book on page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.